is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To West Africa, a series of coups against the leadership, the elected leadership, most recently in Gabon. However, before that in Niger. And I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to comment, because there are consistencies and then exceptions in these moments, especially in terms of the European and American presence in West Africa, a critical part of the future. Russia is not absent, Turkey's not absent, but I go to a report from Paris, Wall Street Journal, these last hours. France has started talks with Niger's military over the possible withdrawal of French troops from the West African country, according to French officials. In the wake of a coup, says the Wall Street Journal, that ousted the country's elected president, a withdrawal of French troops from Niger would deliver a blow to Western efforts to fight Islamist insurgents in the Sahel, the semi-arid belt running along the southern edge of the Sahara. U.S. and European governments had worked closely with Niger's president Bazoum in the fight against al-Qaeda and Islamic State militants. They're talking about a drone base in Niamey, or outside of Niamey, the capital of Niger. But we're going to start with Gabon, because that's the latest turn of affairs for Francophone Africa. Gregory, the Financial Times features an article that is both true and puzzling about how French President Macron invested time and his presence in knitting together relationships with the French-speaking countries of West Africa, and that that is now shoved to the side by these present military decisions to take over the governments. However, you report discerningly there are coups and there are pseudo-coups. What is that in terms of Gabon and Niger? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, real coup d'etat are honest military takeovers of government where you can see what's going on. Pseudo coups are where you have a surreptitious illegal takeover of government, generally by politicians who've manipulated the system and particularly the electoral processes to seize government. And what has tended to happen in much of Africa, and particularly since late 2021, is that populations are getting gravely concerned about the loss of their so-called democratic states as one government after another seizes power through manipulated elections, and the public expresses their dissatisfaction, but they have no recourse because the courts aren't able to overturn them. So the military steps in, and that's what happened in Gabon. It may not be a perfect coup in terms of the restoration of democracy, but it is at least breaking a 56-year cycle of manipulated transfers of power within the Bongo family. So even though the new head of government, Brigadier General Brice Oligui, is a distant cousin of the Bongos, he nonetheless broke the cycle, and he did so because Ali Bongo was going up for an election for a third term as president, and he so blatantly was claiming power and had the election commission reaffirm that his election was valid, that the military followed the popular opinion and said, no, we can't accept this, and they removed him from office. Now, whether it was General Oligui wanting power for himself, or whether he was genuinely supporting the rights of the population is debatable at this stage. However, he has indicated a transitional process which he would preside over so that new elections would take place, and presumably Ali Bongo would no longer be able to contest those elections. So that is a break for the good. And what we've seen, not just in the last couple of years, but literally since the end of colonialism, when elected presidents and prime ministers have taken over and basically cemented themselves into office and stolen countless billions from the treasuries. It's been the military who have taken over in order to restore democracy. And yet, of course, the Western media very superficially reports this as, oh, my God, they've removed an elected government. Well, sort of. But the reaction, the reality is that these are not fully democratic systems, because they've been open to abuse, despite the fact that the West wrote most of the constitutions and the electoral procedures. And it just shows that you cannot impose an election system or a system of government upon a society which needs to grow its own structures and hierarchies from their own grassroots. And so all of the colonially imposed structures are going to fail at some stage, and fail pretty quickly. Why the militaries have been able to get back into the coup business with a vengeance in the last couple of years is not only because of the abuse of power by the civilian politicians, but also because the West has lost its ability to coerce the militaries into staying silent and allowing the miscarriage of justice by the politicians to continue. And this is of profound importance. The US, the United Kingdom, France, EU particularly, have lost all traction in Africa because people just don't care about what the US says anymore. And the US has lost its ability to use its prestige and its lofty ideals to persuade people to follow them. Indeed, today, what is seen in Africa, and I go there regularly, and I speak to a lot of people on a daily basis there, they are no longer impressed by the shining city on the hill, which the United States once represented as recently as a decade ago. Presidential contender in an African country, a big country, told me after the last election in the United States, last presidential election, he looked at the process and said, well, the Americans can never lecture us about honest elections ever again. So that was the view, correct or incorrect, that's the view of much of the outside world, is that the U.S. prestige and influence has evaporated. So for the U.S., if it wished, and same with the French, if they wish to change the situation, they have to expend a lot of effort. And that's very expensive because it generally means military power. And I think in Niger, to a lesser degree in Gabon, they were prepared to consider that. We discussed on this show in recent weeks that we thought that ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, would not, in concert with France, use military force to overthrow the coup in Niger and similarly in Gabon. They can have some tut-tutting and deploring the coups, but it's really too expensive for them to intervene. And the Nigerian military government has said, well, you can come in if you like, but it's not going to be cheap, meaning they would fight to preserve their position because they actually believe that they did the right thing.
Gregory, I want to make a note, as you just said, we've talked about this in previous weeks. Gabon. We talked about Niger in these fashion, and then Gabon happened within hours. So the puzzle is they're not only watching Washington, they're watching themselves, right? These countries learn from how the ECOWAS did not respond, despite all the loud talk, to Niger. Sierra Leone, you report, is also watching, the president of Sierra Leone. And what are they learning from these serial, well, if they're not coups, these serial pseudo-coups? Is Mali, Burkina Faso, Chad, Guinea, Niger, Gabon? What lessons do tentative and ambitious young generals learn from this?
Well, they learn that they now have the whip hand once again. They also know that they have a much more educated population than they had even a decade or two ago, so that they know that they have to restore some form of representative government, and most of them are very keen to do so. Most of the military leaders in Africa that I know are very unhappy when they are given the task of running a country, because they lose their military skills, their structures, and even their budgets, defense budgets, tend to disappear when they are left in merely to look after the governance of the country. So they don't particularly like them, and they want to hand power back to somebody. The question is who, because they know they can't trust most of the politicians. So what we're moving toward is a situation where they are going to further turn their back on foreign powers, and that includes, by the way, Turkey, Russia, and the People's Republic of China, as well as the West, and try to find more locally representative forms of government, which may or may not accord with modern Western views on democracy. All of these former colonial states are conglomerates or agglomerations, if you like, of once independent sovereign kingdoms, chieftaincies, sultanates, and the like, which had their own forms of government which worked for thousands of years. So I think we're going to start to see a reversion in some ways to respecting local ideas on this without necessarily looking over their shoulders to see whether this is something which the sophists in Paris or London or Washington would approve. So it's going to be a very interesting decade ahead. And I was asked earlier today, actually, what does this mean for the West itself? Because if the rest of the world is seeing the great Western powers as being as losing their prestige, as being themselves divided and undemocratic, where the so-called Western electoral systems have thrown power into the hands of the marginal majority, who are tyrannizing the marginal minority in most countries in the West. So they're saying, well, how long is that going to last? At least in Africa and the Middle East, they do have options to start to seek redress, whereas we in the West have no form of redress. We have to rely on court systems, which often tend to favor the status quo or to allow elected governments to consolidate themselves in government. So in a sense, the Africans have got far greater flexibility than have the Western countries. We're stuck with what we've got.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, speaking of the most recent coup in West Africa, in Gabon, which was on the list of possible invited countries to BRICS at the Johannesburg meeting. I recall being struck by why Gabon is there. Eventually, it was Egypt and Ethiopia. That didn't rule out Gabon in the future. So when we come back, Russia and China were the two big players at the BRICS meeting. What does the series of coups or pseudo-coups in West Africa mean for Russia, for China, and for that third player present everywhere in Africa, Turkey? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.